What if the person who makes your heart race isn't meant to bring you happiness, but to help you grow? Edgar Cayce, the sleeping prophet whose 14,000 psychic readings influenced everyone from Shirley MacLaine to Richard Bach, turned our romantic fantasies upside down. His work revealed something startling. Soulmates aren't cosmic rewards for good behavior, they're spiritual assignments. When a struggling married couple asked Cayce how to fix their relationship, his answer was blunt: succeed now or face something 10 times worse the next time. This wasn't the fairy tale we've been sold. Soulmate relationships exist primarily for one purpose: to challenge us into becoming whole within ourselves, not to complete us from the outside. Ever lock eyes with someone and feel inexplicable recognition? Toby and Asako experienced this after meeting at a party. Though initially dismissing romance, on New Year's Day, separated by distance, each had nearly identical dreams about visiting a Japanese mansion together. They married within months, describing it as reuniting with the other half of my soul. Soul connections aren't limited to romance. Tina and Lauren became inseparable childhood friends, sharing journals by the river and exploring spiritual questions most kids never contemplate. Their bond survived Lauren's cross-country move and endured until Lauren's death. A hypnotic regression later revealed an 8,000-year connection spanning multiple lifetimes, as Scottish sisters, Italian performers, Egyptian temple workers, Swiss siblings. Cayce's readings consistently showed that significant present relationships originated in past lives. That inexplicable pull towards certain people, it's recognition, not imagination. We never meet anyone important for the first time. Hans and Catherine's 50-year marriage looked effortless, reunions like another honeymoon, despite his extensive travel. But their harmony required work. They had rubbed off the rough corners through previous lifetimes, learning to present a united front, maintain courtesy during disagreements, and support each other through devastating challenges. A son's suicide attempt in coming out, a daughter falling in love across racial lines. Their formula? Give 60% and expect 40%. Anna and Dave Mitchell tell a different story. Despite Cayce confirming three previous lifetimes together and advising marriage, their relationship deteriorated rapidly. Past life baggage, religious differences, sexual incompatibility, and Dave's domineering nature poisoned their connection. When Dave developed a crippling disease, Anna cared for him out of obligation until his death at 45. Same soulmate connection, radically different outcomes. Soulmate relationships aren't automatically successful. They require conscious effort, mutual growth, and willingness to work through ancient patterns. The quality depends not on cosmic destiny, but on present choices. Beyond individual connections, Cayce revealed larger soul groupings drawn together for collective purposes, manifesting as university faculties, cause-driven organizations, even entire nations. During World War II, he predicted souls would incarnate in Russia with freedom ideals to end communism, while another group would be born in China to bring religious freedom. Dorothy Eady exemplifies this phenomenon. After a childhood accident where she was declared dead but recovered, vivid dreams of an Egyptian temple consumed her life. She recognized the temple of Seti I, learned hieroglyphics, and moved to Egypt as Am Seti. For 25 years until her death in 1981, she helped restore Abydos, driven by soul memories transcending her present identity. Four contemporary individuals, Tom, Kathleen, Lori, and Janet, found themselves drawn together through theater and work with mentally disabled adults. A psychic reading revealed they'd been together in multiple past lives: healers in Atlantis, performers in Greece, and pioneers of humane mental health treatment in 19th century London. Their present connections mirrored these patterns. Three had family members in mental hospitals, all felt drawn to creative expression and helping the disadvantaged. We're not just seeking individual soulmates, but participating in larger patterns of service spanning multiple lifetimes. Soulmate relationships inevitably bring challenges that offer profound growth opportunities. When May's husband Howard formed a deep, non-physical bond with another woman, she followed Casey's guidance to make their situation a beautiful thing. Overcoming selfishness at a soul level, May learned unconditional love, caring for Howard through heart problems until his death in 1968. She lived to 101. Tracy and Michael's constant arguments masked deep connection. Past life regressions revealed they'd been father and son in a nomadic tribe, then a married couple in England, both lives marked by communication failures. Working together as equals, they've learned to overcome these patterns. Not all stories end positively. Two college roommates from 1932 developed a codependent friendship that became destructive. Whenever one found potential happiness with a man, the other became depressed. Their unhealthy attachment prevented romantic relationships, leading to alcoholism and tranquilizers. When one finally married, the other became ill, and the conflicted bride ultimately committed suicide. These cases reveal that relationship challenges aren't random obstacles, but purposeful opportunities. The difficulties we face with those closest to us often reflect unresolved patterns from past lives. People who trigger strong emotional responses serve as mirrors to our own strengths and weaknesses. Rather than advising lonely individuals where to find relationships, Casey focused on how they should spend their time alone. A divorced woman worried about remarriage was told to prioritize her health over finding a partner. A widow received this guidance: do something for someone else. Make their lives happy, for only that ye give away do ye possess. Many people's loneliness stemmed from emotional barriers, suppressing talents, being overly critical, or unconsciously delaying intimacy due to past life heartbreaks. An artist feeling unappreciated was encouraged to cultivate appreciation for others. A pilot was told his loneliness came from hesitancy to give love. If ye would have friends, be friendly. If ye would have love, love others. Casey emphasized that like attracts like. We attract what we put out into the world. The paradox? Stop searching for your soulmate and become the person your soulmate is searching for. Casey understood what modern culture forgets. Creating soulmate relationships with everyone is a fundamental purpose. Ruth and Wayne's nearly 50-year marriage evolved from heated arguments to deep companionship through conscious choice. After his Navy career, Wayne told Ruth, "You followed me for 30 years. For the next 30, it's my turn to follow you." Casey outlined four essential steps. Love yourself by overcoming negative self-image. Establish a spiritual ideal as your directional beacon. Apply what you know through kindness and patience. Maintain expectation that allows change to occur. By changing ourselves, we transform how others respond. Our search for soulmates is ultimately a search for wholeness, achieved by reawakening to our spiritual source. Stop waiting for your soulmate to appear. That difficult coworker? Soulmate assignment. That estranged family member? Soulmate opportunity. Case's truth is both humbling and empowering. We don't find soulmates, we become them. In becoming someone who loves unconditionally and sees every relationship as sacred work, we discover we've been whole all along.